Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. 15 days away, football season's almost here. Be careful this football season, this tailgating season. Make a friend drive, find a DD, call an Uber, a taxi. Do what you got to do. Don't drink and drive. But if you or a loved one find yourself needing legal representation, you're going to want a team that's going to get you the best result possible. Marcos Garza and his team will work tirelessly to do just that. Their track record speaks for itself. Check the plaques. Check the awards. GarzaLaw.com, 24/7, 365. You can log on there, get someone to chat with, get more information. Or you can call them at 865-540-8300. You'll get someone on the phone. Again, 24/7, 365. Before you say guilty, say Garza. Let's get to tonight's episode. This week's episode, we talk about Hendon Hooker and his the disrespect surrounding him, Big Sed Tillman, the records he's going to break, some relationship advice, some hypotheticals. Let's get to it.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch, Wednesday, August 17th. We're 15 days away from the football season. Seth Hughes joins me down from Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. Good to hear your voice as usual.
What did that do for you when I said we are 15 days away, which means we're basically two podcasts away from football season?
It makes me excited. I'm excited. I can't wait. 15 days.
I maintain that August is the worst month of the year. This is my least favorite time of the year. I hate this time so much.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it before, but just it feels like we're close, but we're still too far away. I loathe it. To me, football feels closer like in May than it does in August, which I know is stupid, but
I understand what you're saying.
But I did get some LSU tickets today. I have procured 4 LSU tickets.
Nice, nice.
So I'm ready for that. I'm hoping we are 4-0 heading into there. I need to take applications for 3 strong men to come and protect me, or be a part of my group. And I shouldn't say protect me, but to be a part of my group, because I've heard bad things about LSU. You've told me bad things about LSU.
Yeah, it's the one time I felt like a little wary of opposing fans.
So I need 3 strong men, or 2 strong men and 1 crazy man?
Yeah, you need a crazy person.
I'm accepting applications now.
You need a lunatic.
We hit, our second scrimmage. The football season is pretty close. I think we're starting to get a clear picture on the season. ESPN ranked their top 100 players. Tennessee had 2 guys, 2 in the top 60. Hendon Hooker came in, I believe, at 49, and Big Sed was at 60. You have any thoughts on that?
Wasn't Byron Young like 66?
Oh, if he was, I didn't see it. I didn't.
It was top 100 players, right?
Yeah, I'd usually do like the control F search. So I searched for Tennessee and it only brought up 2 guys, and then I didn't scroll down to the bottom to see. Because I didn't really care who like the 65th best player was.
Yeah.
Byron? Was he on there?
I thought he was on there. But maybe I imagined that. Like,
well, I'll just find out. Hold on.
I'm looking again. So it says an outside linebacker. What is this? Okay, it has Byron Young. This is must be a different article, whatever.
You're looking
is
at the draft status, maybe?
Is that what that is? So after that this top 50 thing ended, whatever this top 50
after the
thing
top 100, then it gets into like prospects for the NFL. So that
yeah, so I did Control F Tennessee as well. I did Control F 10, and it said Byron Young with the 66 beside his name. So I just assumed that meant he was 66th overall.
Yeah, I made that mistake. Yeah, I made that mistake earlier. That was something different. I guess that's just like his grade, maybe.
Yeah, I don't like how it rolls you to another story on the same page.
Sometimes I like it, but not when they're that similarly related. When you're ranking players, we shouldn't have those back to back.
So I apologize for the fake news.
That's fine. Producer will cut that out. Two top 60 players. I didn't like the lack of respect they were given to Hendon. He was, I think, the 14th quarterback.
That sounds right. Yeah, I still don't understand a lot of the Will Levis above Hendon Hooker stuff. Obviously, I don't get it. A lot of the stuff, like, I won't argue about other players or whatever, but...
I didn't like seeing Malik Cunningham ahead of him either, by the way.
Yeah, what's up with that? Like, this guy was second... He's second team All-SEC. Why is he the 14th best quarterback in the nation? I mean, come on.
Sixth in the SEC, I believe, was the number.
Malik Cunningham. Louisville is not even a real school. I don't know how many times I have to say this. It is not even a real school. It is a Big East school. It is not even a real school. It is in a huge city. It's not a real college. It's in a big city. That city is known for horse racing. It's not a real college. They have a dorky, annoying coach. It's not a real college. Malik Cunningham is not better than Hendon Hooker. Will Levis is not better than Hendon Hooker. Why do we pretend that this great brand of football is played in the state that is north of Tennessee when it's not? It's annoying. It's annoying. Like, what wide receiver was Cedric Tillman?
Well, let me check. Because
Top 10. He was top 10, I think.
Yeah, I looked at that wide receiver thing, too, and he's like seventh there. But you had Smith and Jigba, which no arguing there. Jordan Addison, no arguing there. Kayshawn Boutte. I mean, that guy's supposed to be a freak at the NFL level. I just don't know if I see the production for this season with, like, their quarterback situation. You got Josh Downs from North Carolina. Are you keeping count? A.T. Perry from Wake Forest.
That's five.
Xavier Worthy from Texas, and that's it. Then Big Sid.
Xavier Worthy's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have as much of a problem with that list. I mean, where he ranks.
Never heard of that dude from North Carolina. Never heard of that dude from North Carolina. Maybe he's good. I don't know.
Last year, he had 101 catches for 1,300 yards. So he's pretty big numbers.
He's pretty good. Yeah, the Hendon Hooker stuff, it's just annoying, man. It's just annoying. It's like if they ever give him credit, it's couched in the he's a system quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And it's so annoying because for years we've been begging Tennessee to run a system that is friendly to quarterbacks because everyone else does. Tennessee was the only school that wasn't running a system that's friendly to quarterbacks outside of, like, Georgia. Like, everyone else is. It's never been easier to be a quarterback, and yet Tennessee was still doing the same old stuff that nobody did anymore. Now Tennessee's finally gone to a system that makes it easy on a quarterback. And it's like, well, he's a system guy. Well, okay, that's fine. But I saw Hendon Hooker make some really nice throws last year, regardless of the system. Regardless of the system, he doesn't throw interceptions. It's just stupid. It's dumb.
I can tell your chili's hot because of how mad you're getting about this ranking that doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter at all, but Will Levis above Hendon Hooker annoys me, and I find Louisville Athletics so distasteful and unseemly. They're so fake. It's so fake. It's a school in the middle of a city. I hate it. It's so fake. They were in the Big East when I was little.
And never forget what they did to Papa John.
Never forget what they did to Papa John. I went to the Big East tournament one time in Birmingham with my dad when I was a kid. And this was when Cincinnati had Kenyon Martin.
I bet that was pretty fun, actually.
It was awesome. It was a beautiful idea by my dad. We had a great time. Like, that's when, like, Charlotte was good, too. Like, Crum was still at Louisville. Obviously, Huggins was at Cincinnati. It was an awesome tournament. And this Cincinnati and Louisville fan got in a fist fight in front of me. I was horrified. I was, like, in the first, second grade, a little kid. This dude just stands up and just waylays this Louisville fan. I mean, just crushes him.
So you've lost your respect for Louisville that day.
Yeah, I don't like him. I don't like him. It's not a real school. I've never understood, like, why are they in the ACC? Someone answer me that.
Because the ACC wants to have some TV money in the Kentucky market, I guess.
I guess so. I find them extremely annoying. I find
I will say the basketball program is pretty good.
It is good. It is good.
Their football program, they did have a couple of times with Lamar Jackson and Brohm where they were pretty good. I don't hate them as much as you do. When I think of Louisville, I probably think of Muhammad Ali first, though. Not horse racing, but maybe I'm wrong. For horse racing, I think of Lexington. Is that wrong? Who gets the nod in the horse racing battle, Lexington or Louisville?
The Kentucky Derby's in Louisville, right? Unless I'm crazy. Am I losing my mind? Where's the Kentucky Derby?
It might be Louisville. I know Lexington does some big things, too.
They do. They do. I just base the horse racing off the Kentucky Derby, but now I'm like, have I gone crazy?
It might be in Louisville. That doesn't change my opinion.
No. I know. Okay, it is in Louisville. Churchill Downs in Louisville. Yeah. Okay. That's why I say Louisville. My morning jacket is from Louisville. So I think of my morning jacket. I definitely do not think of Jack Harlow when I think of Louisville.
I went to a Kevin Hart show in Louisville one time. I usually think of that one. Back in like whenever he was really like starting to get famous before he got really, really famous. That was pretty fun.
Is that before he left his wife?
Yeah. It was before he got caught cheating. Yeah.
That's good. It was before he got canceled.
Yeah. Well, he's not canceled because he's everywhere, but yeah. Before us upstanding gentlemen lost respect for him, I think is the way you should phrase it.
That's right.
Okay. That enough about Louisville.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine. It's fine. Again, I would have liked to have seen that guy get his ass whipped, and I understand why you lost all respect for Louisville watching him get his ass whipped in the second grade.
I will say, what did me in about Louisville more than anything was the year we were in their region and they whipped our ass. I didn't go to that game, but they were in Birmingham that first weekend too.
I was at that first two rounds.
Okay. And there was this Louisville fan. You were there too. Wow. Yeah. There was a Louisville fan besides me and my dad.
I wonder if we saw each other.
We might have in the BJCC, and he kept an unlit cigar in his mouth the entire day and did the Cards chant the whole time. They were a 3 seed playing a 14 seed. And he was just a huge clown. Just annoyed me to death.
I just watched them beat the hell out of Blake Griffin in the second round. I don't think I was there for the first round.
Okay. We played Butler in that second round, right?
Yeah, West does beat Butler in overtime and then hung around hoping that Oklahoma would beat them, but it was very clear earlier that was not going to happen, so I think we left at halftime.
Yeah.
We could have seen each other.
We could have. We might have.
I don't really have any Louisville memories other than, like, Kevin Ware breaking his leg.
I was driving back to UT. I think I was a senior in college. I was driving back to UT.
I was watching it on the TV. Snapped it just clean. It was pretty gross.
I do remember, like, afterwards seeing, like, clips of, like, wasn't Coach K crying?
He had tears in his eyes. Yeah, I don't know if I remember that. I just remember him snapping his leg. I remember losing a lot of money when I was, like, in high school, betting on Miami to beat Louisville, and then Louisville whipped the absolute dog shit out of them. That's my other Louisville memory.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a lot of Louisville memories. Anyways, let's move on.
So, 15 days. I'm excited.
Kelly Washington days away.
Man, he was a beast.
Kelly Washington or Juwan Jennings, who you got?
In terms of sheer talent, obviously Kelly Washington, but in terms of...
Just asking who you like more.
Oh, Juwan Jennings. I mean, Juwan Jennings means way more to Tennessee fans, I would think.
I would say that's factually correct. But I did have a soft spot for Kelly Washington. I loved him when I was a kid.
I did too, man. I did too. So amazing. He should have just gone pro after that first year.
I'm glad... It really says something that he didn't, you know what I mean?
It does. But man, yeah, he was incredible, man.
It was really dumb that he didn't because, I mean, he was already older, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess literally he was a grown-ass man. He was an NFL wide receiver in college. probably dumb that he hung around.
Then they like broke his back in the NFL, right? Something like that. And he like hurt his back real bad.
Yeah, I want to say it might have been before the draft, if I remember correctly. He was like, I remember he had like a special teams like preseason punt block or something. And I thought, okay, maybe he'll make it, but I don't think he did. 15 days away.
I'm excited. I'm also excited. Well, I'm excited for this, but it's annoying to me that West Virginia plays Pittsburgh at the exact same time we do Thursday night.
Why? So you can't watch them or what?
Yeah, because like I wish that was just like an hour later or something. I mean, it's at the exact same time. I am very interested in that game.
Have you ever heard of DVR?
I do, but I don't DVR stuff, dude.
You have a DVR and just refuse to do it?
Yeah, I don't DVR.
Why is that?
I don't know, because there's like accounts out there that put extended highlight clips up on YouTube within like an hour of the game.
Okay.
And I'll just go watch that.
So you don't like watching full games? You say extended highlights, like that means you're not getting every play. You don't like, I like avoiding scores if I can, and even if I can, I'll still go back and watch games I want to see with the ability to fast forward through all the nonsense and usually cut off, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours of time.
So let's say I had like, you know, a huge family event that I could not miss on a Saturday that we were playing Florida, and I wasn't going to get home until halftime of that game to watch the rest of the game.
Then you would DVR it?
Under no circumstances would I tune everything out, not check my phone, stay totally off the grid. So when I got home at halftime, I could start watching from the beginning. Under no circumstances would I do that. I would get home and I would start watching at the third quarter immediately. And I would keep up on my phone as much as I could up until that point. 100%. I do not like, I love watching a full football game as long as I like get to do it live. Like after the fact, I'm not going to go back and do it. No.
Even if you knew that you could catch up by the fourth quarter. So like in that scenario at halftime, with how long halftime is, you could be caught up basically by the end of the third quarter if you cut out all the fluff. There's a lot of fluff, not so much in college football, especially our games because of how fast we go. But, you know, an NFL game, I do it in the NFL all the time. On an NFL game, you can get through, three quarters of football basically in 30 minutes.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing it.
I wonder how other people feel about that because I would DVR it.
My dad is the exact opposite. My dad DVRs every single Tennessee football game. He DVRs every single Tennessee basketball game. And I even caught him DVRing Tennessee baseball games this past spring, which is madness to me. And he'll go back and watch them.
Baseball is also a good sport where you can blow through innings really quickly.
Yeah. See, now, like baseball especially, like that guy on YouTube, Wills, he will put up like, he'll put up like on a Tennessee game. We always got put up on his channel because we were number one basically the entire season. So it would be an hour after the game. And let's say, you know, it was a Friday night and I couldn't watch that Friday night opener in the SEC series. Like Wills would have a 20-minute highlight of the game up within an hour. Well, it's like, I'm just going to watch that, right? I'm going to see all the home runs. Like, I always would watch UT highlights on Will's channel, even if I watched the full game, because, you know, they were awesome. He's really good. But my dad is the opposite. He will DVR everything, and he will watch it from the beginning.
I'll pretty much put baseball games on, like, the two-time speed of fast-forwarding, and I'll keep an eye, like, on the base paths. And if someone's on base, I'll stop and watch. If someone gets a big hit, I'll rewind it and watch. But that's typically how I do it, especially, like, on weekends. That's my move. I feel like you're a little absurd for hopping right in at halftime, but I guess it makes sense. I guess if it was a big game, see, I very rarely have to miss big games for that reason. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you know, I don't always go back and DVR certain games. So, like, there are times I've missed, you know, Titans games and just kind of kept up with the score while I'm out. So I guess I understand it.
The last big UT game I had to miss was that the Pig Howard fumble against Georgia.
Oh wow.
And so I had a wedding for a very, very close friend of mine at church, and I did not get home until halftime of that game.
But you made it to the end of the game.
And so, like, I did not go back to the beginning and watch it. Like, I just pulled up CBS at halftime when I got home, popped in the recliner, and just watched the rest of the game. Yeah, like, that was, like, I'm not starting over at the beginning. But also, like, I mean, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that I don't have to miss a big UT game.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to think of, like, the last big one I missed of, like, any sports, you know, basketball or football for Tennessee.
Yeah. And that was, like, a wedding that I truly could not.
I don't blame you. I think you should go to your friend's wedding. I think weddings are more important than...
They are, for sure. I don't regret going to his wedding or whatever. But,
now,
if
you're... older dad's friends like getting remarried or something, like I think that one kind of skips. But if it's like a close friend or a close family member, like you gotta go support love, you gotta go support your family, your friends, you gotta do that. But
yeah, if it's your dad's older friend getting remarried the same day as the Florida game and you're not gonna be able to go to the tailgate, I think that's pretty lame.
I draw a line somewhere, and you know, with me, I guess I get a little bit more of a leeway because I technically, you know, have to work sometimes, which is especially when I was doing the post-game show and stuff. So it was a little bit different for me. But I like weddings, too, by the way. But I wouldn't miss, like, one of Tennessee's, like, three or four biggest games of the year.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I do remember the one that jumps out to me is, like, in the SEC Championship in 2001, my dad made us all go out and eat like in the first quarter. So I got home at the end of the third quarter and watched us, like, melt away.
I watched that game in a room with just me and my dad as we both sat there depressed.
I got back to my stepmom's dad's house, so I guess my step-grandfather's house, and I pretty much remember watching LSU's quarterback scramble around, and then I remember watching Dante Stallworth fumble. So that was my experience with the game.
Good times, a harbinger of things to come, sitting in that room with my dad. So, questions?
Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Gramco. Gramco offers you an enjoyable, legal high delivered discreetly right to your front door. Grown by farmers who spent years developing premium hemp genetics, Gramco provides their customers with consistent, quality Delta-H THC products ready for almost any occasion. They got plenty of products that you can choose from, including Wake and Bake coffee, Delta-8 disposable vapes, Delta-8 gummies. Shout out to the orange ones, 25 milligrams each. Delta 8 pre-rolls, and more. Free standard shipping, again, quick and discreetly. Go to thegramco.com, place your order, use the promo code VOLS25, must be 21 or older. Use the promo code VOLS25, get 25% off your order. Again, thegramco.com, shout out to them for holding us down. You do the same for them. Let's get us some Patreon questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. No new patrons. Boo. No upped their pledges, patrons. Boo. Got fantasy football signups. I'm going to get the leagues actually up and running so you can get filled in there. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. Gatorgate coming up. Post game shows. Some type of stuff with that. We're going to try to figure that out through the podcast. There's some housekeeping. Go ahead, Seth. Hit us with some questions.
Brother Spencer asks, what's it going to take to have some gator tail at the Florida tailgate?
I assume gator tail is going to have to be grilled. I guess can we buy some that's already made? I assume like you buy it raw, right? And then they'll...
I have no idea.
I don't want to bring a grill to the tailgate. The one year I did do that, it was just such a hassle. I like just buying easy food, like just buying some nuggets and pizza, like, and some like sandwiches. It would take somebody bringing a grill and being responsible for it. That's what it would take, Spencer, because I ain't going to do it.
Yeah, it's going to have to take somebody other than me.
I ain't stepping up and doing it. I do enough on that damn day, so I'm not doing it.
Brother Techville asks, you control the results.
But we'll have pizza and chicken nuggets.
There you go.
And fellowship. Don't forget fellowship.
Brother Techville asks, you control the result of one non-Tennessee game this college football season. What game are you picking and why?
It's a good question. I like this question a lot.
It is a very good question.
The answer that came to my mind is Missouri beating Georgia.
Interesting. Mine was also a Georgia game. And it was absolutely not because Techvall asked this, but I started thinking about what games would be hilarious to me. And Georgia Tech beating Georgia would be so funny to me.
See, I don't think you can waste it, though. It has to be a conference loss.
I understand.
That way, even us losing to Alabama gives us a chance to beat them. So, I didn't want Kentucky to get the satisfaction. I didn't want South Carolina to get the satisfaction. nor Vanderbilt, even though that would be pretty funny too, but like I don't want Vanderbilt to get the satisfaction. I don't have any real beef with Missouri, so I went with Missouri. Or maybe even Auburn to keep Harsin around. Because I do think like we're going to go head-to-head with Auburn on more recruits than we're going against Missouri, so maybe like Harsin, that's his one win of the year to get them bowl eligible or something. So pick whichever one of that, Auburn or Missouri beating Georgia. The Georgia Tech one would be funny.
It would be so funny.
But so would like Missouri. Did you change your answer or are you sticking with that one?
I'm still sticking with Georgia Tech because that was just the first. I just thought it would be so funny if Jeff Collins beating Georgia would be so good.
It would be good if it like knocked him out of the playoff too, but
yeah,
I don't feel like that would be the case. I feel like they could still win the SEC championship and get back in it. So I'm being selfish. I want to have that chance for a winner-take-all game for the East.
Brother Mazel Tov asks if your life depended on it and you had to bet that one top-level American professional sports team would never win another championship, who would you choose?
Well, I was going to say Manchester United, but then you put the American caveat in there. Because Man U is done. It's been really sad watching them. American top-level, never winning another championship. If I had to bet my life on it, I would probably bet on the Knicks.
Okay. The Red Sox. I never want to see another Boston Red Sox World Series.
Well, no. It's not about who you want. It's about who you think will never win.
Oh. Yeah. I'd say New York Knicks would be good.
I mean, it's just been, what, since 69, 70? Like, we've already got 52 years of proof there.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't even, like, it just feels like the Knicks will never be good, right? Like, they blew all this money on Jalen Brunson.
That's why I'm betting my life on it.
He's fine, but, like, he had those couple good games against the Utah Jazz, and people were like, oh, he might be the alpha of the Mavericks. No, Luka Doncic is the best player in the Mavericks. Jalen Brunson had a nice couple games. It's crazy to me they gave him all that money, but whatever. Yeah, New York Knicks is a good guess.
Because I think in baseball, you're going to be able to buy your way to one eventually.
Yep.
That's why I'm not picking the Red Sox. Plus, I mean, they've won enough in my lifetime that makes me think they'll be able to get back there. You know, the Yankees, same way. In the NFL, like any top-level franchise is, you know, basically a quarterback away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the Knicks. I just don't know when they'll ever be able to attract a superstar again.
Brother OG Matt asks, you have to sell joining the Tennessee fan base to someone without a current college football team. What's your pitch?
I think it'd be pretty easy.
I do too.
I think our colors are gorgeous. I think they're unique. I think our checkerboard stuff looks pretty cool. So you could show like cool pictures and videos, right? Like the Ole Miss pictures and videos is pretty damn cool. And if you like want to sell people on like chaos, we're probably the most chaotic fan base, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Between like, you know, Shiano Sunday and all that stuff. Like we got a pretty good track record of being entertaining, at least. Dysfunctional. People usually gravitate towards that. I would just say our fan base cares the most. That's what I would say. Like, our fan base cares a lot. We got cool colors. Play them Rocky Top. Show them Smokey. That could be a pretty easy sell, honestly. Just go to any big game in any sport. What would your pitch be? Maybe show them my ranch videos. I don't know.
I would say you cannot ever be accused of being a bandwagon fan.
Just introduce them to Reed's Ranch Pod.
Introduce to the podcast, show them the pageantry, the passion, the atmosphere of a team running through the tee before a big game. And then just tell them how it's never boring.
Yeah, it's never boring. You'd have to really sell. You know, there's some people, see, the thing about being a good salesman, Seth, is that you got to be able to be flexible, right? So if I'm getting a read of this guy and he's wanting to just join a winner, you got to really put down that your rivals are the biggest winners right now. You know what I mean? You got to really make him question, like you said, of being a bandwagon guy. You want to take down Alabama and Georgia. You don't want to join that. It's already built. You don't want to be Kevin Durant. Then you got to start bashing Kevin Durant. Look how he gets treated. That would be a part of my pitch as well. But if they like Kevin Durant, we got to be like, well, Rick Barnes, ever heard of him? He coached him, you know?
That's true. That's true. That's very true. Brother Smitty asks, how much money would it take for you to lock in none of your teams winning anything of significance ever again?
Well, Smitty, I've already resigned to the fact that probably none of my teams are ever going to win anything of significance ever again. I'm very confident none of my teams will ever win a championship while I'm alive. So to lock it in would take more money, though, just obviously because you want the hope. You want the hope. And I say that I made that concession but after the Titans lost to the Bengals, but I thought the basketball team had a good chance of winning a national championship. I thought the baseball team was going to win a national championship, so I guess I'm a sucker. But to lock it in removes all that hope, which is really the point we watch sports. Like, it would be hard to be a diehard if you never thought your team was going to win again, right? Or, you know, win something of significance. So basically, to me, you're giving up on sports. Is that fair to say? Do you disagree with that take, Seth?
I mean, I'm not, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a Tennessee fan.
Cut that out, producer.
For the championships or whatever. Like, I'm not really excited about this season because I think that we're going to win a national title. I don't know. I think I would continue to be a Tennessee fan. Like, I'm a Tennessee fan because that's where I graduated from.
But you don't think that, like, a part of the excitement this season is a chance that it's building to something bigger? Or you're just let's go 10-2 and that's good enough. Like, the hope for me is, like, the reason I'm excited about this season is that if we do go 9-3 or 10-2, then it looks like we can maybe win big here. And then, you know, you hope that you eventually break through. If you told me, like, hey, you're going to go 9-3, 10-2, and not really, you know, have a chance to do anything significant ever again, like, that wouldn't be enough to keep me around, really. I would still be a fan, but not like, super invested.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have to think about that more. I just, like, I don't really think about, like, the thought of never winning anything of significance ever again, like, that doesn't factor into my calculus as a fan at all. Like, I am a Tennessee fan because that is what I've done literally my entire life. When my parents told me that we were Tennessee fans and not Alabama fans. Like, as soon as I saw Peyton Manning throw a football, it was over. Like, it is what it is. Like, I love being a UT fan. I love it dearly. I mean, it's like Rick Barnes, the NCAA tournament. It is what it is, but that doesn't change the fact that I think we're a top 10 team, and I'm extremely excited about watching Josiah and Santi play. I mean, so I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
But we still had a chance to win something big. Even like, I don't know if you consider the SEC championship big or not.
No, that team last season could have made a Final Four easily.
Now, maybe making a Final Four, you know, you can make certain, like, making the playoff, making the Final Four, but you just don't win it. Like, maybe.
To me, making the Final Four is, like, that's winning big, right? You won your region,
but that's
you hang a banner.
Something of significance, though. That's what the question was. Not championships, just something of significance. You don't even get that. You don't even get, like, an East championship.
Yeah. Like, I feel, like, I would be genuinely surprised, I think, if I live till 80 and Tennessee does not make a Final Four. When you look at how good UT basketball has been.
We will. I am confident we'll make a Final Four by the time you're 80.
Yeah, like, you look at how good UT has been this century.
Win a championship, though? I don't know. And if, like, you're 70 years old listening to this, thank you for your support, but you've never gotten to see a Final Four. Think about all those Chicago Cubs fans and Red Sox fans that died saying, surely before I die, we're going to win a championship.
That's true.
Over 100 years later.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I don't know if it's easier to win a baseball championship or make a college basketball Final Four, but it's kind of crazy how long it took. Would you have traded last year's SEC tournament championship for an Elite Eight?
Yeah. I would have, yeah.
For a Sweet 16?
No.
Elite Eight, yes, though?
Yeah. We've been to a lot of Sweet 16s.
I said Elite Eight, no.
And I understand that because... It had been so long.
With the caveat that, like, we know we lose in the Elite Eight, right? So if you told me I could play in the Elite Eight game, sure. Like, I would take roll the dice there because you could still win a championship. But if you told me we had basically Arkansas season, I would still rather have our season.
Yeah.
I was asked that this week on Talk Sports every day from 12 to 3. And that was – I said I wouldn't do it for an Elite Eight. But I thought that it was a 50-50 proposition where a lot of people probably would. And you – prove that correct.
That's a good question too, though. It's tough to say because like the SEC championship, the SEC tournament championship meant a whole lot, and I don't want it to come across that it didn't.
I don't know how much it did though to like everyone else. It meant a lot to our fan base. I don't know how much it meant nationally.
Oh, well, I don't care about what it meant nationally. I care about what it meant to me and to my friends and like how that tournament has been a house of horrors my entire life. Going back, I remember coming home from school and Rod Grizzard hit 9 threes in the first half that year we played Alabama and we're getting crushed and I looked forward to the SEC tournament that whole day. Like, that tournament has been a nightmare my entire life. Jarvis Varnado, Auburn getting hot. Winyon Gabriel.
Yeah, I never forget how much you like cried and were whining and gnashing teeth last year about how we're going to lose and how we had no chance of winning as I was telling you to come down to Tampa with me.
So it meant a lot.
Never forget that you didn't bleed orange and you weren't balled the fuck up. And that you, at that point in time, Seth, I hate to say it to you, but you were a dumb son of a bitch.
I was.
You were a dumb son of a bitch.
I was. I'm glad I was wrong.
Next question.
Brother Hank asks, what is your most hated non-SEC football team and why?
I think it changes for me.
Yeah.
I don't really hate any non-SEC program. I think it changes.
Yeah, I used to really dislike Ohio State. Now I don't as much.
That's how I feel.
And I think the reason why I hated them, or not hate, but disliked them so much was like the Jim Tressel teams.
I hated the Jim Tressel teams.
When they really weren't that good, right? They really weren't. But they weren't.
And he would show up with his stupid ass sweater vest.
They would go 11-1 every single year. He would lose at most one game every single year, and they really weren't that good, okay? They really weren't that good. Now I don't dislike them as much because they are that good. They're an NFL team.
That and plus also they're usually our only hope of like not having Alabama or Georgia win a championship.
So I used to dislike them immensely. Now I don't. I really truly do dislike Texas on a level that like I don't think I've really anybody comes close. Like it's weird because even though Oklahoma has been so much better than Texas basically my entire life, I've never disliked Oklahoma.
That's a pretty good answer.
I've always thought Oklahoma was cool, like when they had Adrian Peterson. But like I really do dislike Texas. Every year we are told how they're going to be good. And they have not been good in a long, long time. I dislike them immensely. A lot. It has to be Texas.
I know a lot of people are probably saying Notre Dame, but they don't really do it for me. I don't really usually hate them too much.
I don't dislike Notre Dame either because I think the history and the atmosphere is amazing. I mean, I think Notre Dame is very, very cool. I think their overall cultural atmosphere, their pageantry is very, very cool. Also,
I liked the Brady Quinn teams. I liked the Jimmy Clausen teams. Now with Marcus Freeman, I kind of hope they're good. I don't have any issue with them. I will say, like, I used to like Clemson, but they're probably on my hate scale right now. I've really soured on Dabo, and I want them to lose. So, like, right now, they're probably my most hated non-SEC team. I just find them to be kind of insufferable.
Yeah.
Good question, though, Hank, but my answer changes depending on, like, the last couple years, and Seth locks in Texas.
I go Texas. I think they'll suck again this year. I think I was talking with Brother Jonathan Toy, a patron, earlier today about how stupid it is they're playing Alabama at the beginning of the season. Like, we've talked about this before. We talked about it with Miami, like, 2 years ago. Like, why do these teams play Alabama to start the season? It ruins your entire season. I hope Alabama ruins Texas' season. There, I said it. I hope Alabama ruins Texas' season. Because Alabama's going to be awesome. It just is what it is.
I had to feel pretty good for Alabama to have the number one and number two ranked players in the country. And for Ohio State to have three of the top seven, including number three and four. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to beat Alabama this year. Brother Jackie, a.k.a. the Law Dog.
Who's probably fuming at the Louisville hate, by the way.
He is hating at the Louisville talk. Which player are you most excited to watch this season? Brother Hendon? Brother Said? Brother Byron? Or Brother Jeremy Banks?
Who else but Jeremy Banks? I am most excited to watch Big Said. I think Big Said, I've said it, I called my shot on Twitter. Big Said is going to break the single season receiving record, and he is going to move into number two all-time yards at the University of Tennessee.
There you have it. I am, to no surprise, most excited about watching Brother Hendon Hooker.
And quite frankly, Big Said might break the touchdown record as well, receiving touchdown record. Wouldn't that be absurd if he gets all three?
Yeah, it would be crazy. Because it would be done in a year and a half.
He only needs 1,300 yards. Are you betting against him getting 1,300 yards in 13 games at least?
No.
Because I'm not.
I am definitely not.
I'm most excited to watch Big Said. That's my guy. We've loved Big Said for a long time.
Brother Jake asks, thoughts on the Better Call Saul finale?
Seth, what are your thoughts on the Better Call Saul finale?
You know, I will say this. I have wondered for so long in the TV channel what the acronym BCS stood for, and earlier this week, I finally realized it stood for Better Call Saul. I don't think I realized that show was still on.
Well, it's over now.
It's over now. So it was a pretty good show?
No, it was a great show. Yeah, it was a great show.
That's pretty impressive that they were able to
weave a prequel. Like, whenever you kind of know the fate of most of the main characters, because they brought back a lot of Breaking Bad characters and you already kind of knew their fate. So I was really impressed with how they were able to do that. And, you know, I guess my thoughts, AJ, and I'll do it without spoiling, but my favorite thing of Better Call Saul is how they basically ran back the Walter White Breaking Bad like theme, basically, where obviously you have a good guy that is just goes bad. And I love, in the finale, again, without spoiling, I loved the two callbacks from, you know, two of the more iconic Breaking Bad scenes, at least for me. You know, the one where you have Walt in the crawl space, right? And he has the breakdown when the money's gone, and that, you know, Skyler's giving it to Ted Beneke, and he has that Joker laugh, that Joker breakdown as he's laying down there, like thinking like, hey, my whole family's about to die, and she gave all my money to a guy that, you know, she was cheating on me with, and he just, you know, breaks down laughing. You had that same breakdown for Jimmy, for Saul, you know, whenever he is, well, I won't spoil, but you have that same breakdown. And then the phone call, you know, there in one of the last episodes of Breaking Bad, you had Walt call and have that final moment with Skyler, and you had that, you know, in the finale with Saul and you know, Kim. And I thought both of those were really well done, and I would say that, you know, just as good as Breaking Bad on both of those scenes. And I liked the ending. The ending was good. I liked the theme of the ending. We talked about in the TV thread on the Discord, but I thought it was very, very solid. Better Call Saul, Seth, it just didn't have anywhere near the action that Breaking Bad had, which I didn't think was a bad thing. I didn't mind it. It was more character-driven than Breaking Bad. Felt more real for that reason. There were no, like, magnet tricks or, you know, bombs or anything, really. Just a couple gun shootouts and just some real character development. And long live Kim Wexler, my favorite character in the Breaking Bad universe.
There you go.
Part two, thoughts on Cinnabon. I got no thoughts on Cinnabon. Yeah, no thoughts on Cinnabon.
Cinnabon has restaurants?
They got like, yeah, like, I don't know if they have restaurants, but they got like,
and like the little eateries in the mall. Yeah, okay.
That's where Saul, pretty good. That's where Saul had to go for like his new identity. He became like a different guy and was basically a Cinnabon manager. I assume that's why Jake asked that.
Okay.
I think they smell good. That would be my take. They smell good.
Brother David asks, if offered, would you take Hugh Freeze tomorrow? No.
No, what a stupid question. Boo this man.
No, no, we're 15 days away.
Boo this man. He did say he's just asking for content and he doesn't think that, but you can't even ask that. What are you doing?
You can't even ask this to couple.
Or maybe he's maybe he's Chris Paul. Maybe he's Trae Young. Maybe he's just setting us up an alley-oop to talk about how much we love the hype man. Maybe that's what he's doing.
This question is not an alley-oop for us. Brother Blue Moon Vol asked, what would you prefer? 8-4 with losses to Bama, Georgia, Pittsburgh, and LSU, all by a total of 20 points.
So that means you beat Florida.
That means you beat Florida. Or 9-3 with losses to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, all by 24+.
I think I'd rather go downstairs in my TV cabinet and get my pistol and shoot myself than either one of these. But I'll say that the 8-4 that we had in 2015 was excruciating.
It was.
And it was like, what, 17 points we lost all those games by? That was excruciating. But
losing to Florida, losing to this Florida team by 24+. Like, if you do that and you're Josh Heupel, in this scenario, like, you turn right around and you beat LSU in Baton Rouge. So, hey, maybe everything's cool at the end of the day. But I really don't know. I just, like, if you don't beat Florida this year, then win.
It ain't even Florida to me. I'm tired of the Florida talk. I hate that we put them on such a pedestal. I understand why you do it, so I'm not mad about it. But to me, 8-4 just feels better. The Florida win at home, I understand that's a big win. But I just think it's easier to sell everybody losing by 20 points. Because keep in mind, I know I said the 2015 season was excruciating, but we were able to be pretty hype coming into the next year, right? We did believe that we were getting ready to break through, that the pieces were there. We started out the season pretty good. We're top 10 in the country. So I guess I'm going with option A, 8-4 with all close losses to Bama, Georgia, Pitt, and LSU.
Yeah, because, I mean, that 2016 team was good.
But the 15 team was better, and, like, knowing how close we were to something special does eat at me still. We should have beaten Oklahoma and Florida. And then I think if we win those games, we're going to beat Arkansas, too. Like,
you're going to beat Arkansas, yeah.
And then, you know, the Alabama game doesn't even hurt you if you lose that one. So, like, to me, that one's excruciating.
Yeah, I mean, like, there were some times in that season where Tennessee was playing, like, really, really, really good football. Like, that drive that we had against Alabama where we scored in, like, 4 plays.
To take the lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, take the lead. Like, that drive was perfect, okay? Like, we had that long pass to Josh Smith. Like, Jalen Hurd just waltzed in the end zone untouched. Like, that was, like, an amazing drive. Like, there were times in that season, the first half against Oklahoma, where Tennessee looked incredible, and they went 8-4. And I agree. If they beat Oklahoma and Florida, there's zero chance. No way they lose to Brett Bielema.
Especially when you jump up 14-0, like, as quick as we did. I just think, I don't know, man. The 8-4 was so, like, the 8-4, chances are in those 4 losses, you've made 2 big gaffes. You know what I mean? Like, you've lost 2 games in excruciating fashion that, like, either you've mismanaged, it's going to eat at you, like the Oklahoma, like the Florida games. At 9-3, if you lose to those, you know, 3 teams, you could point to recruiting on 2 of them.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, in the third scenario, like, Anthony Richardson's just that guy, but the fallout from a 24-point loss to Florida would be worse than the...
Yeah, I was watching the, you know, Jeff Goodman has that like, website where they do, like, the live telecast all the time. It's, like, it's the Field of 68 for basketball. I can't remember what the college football one is called, but they had George Whitfield, the quarterback guru, is on it a lot, and he was on it, like, 2 nights ago, and I was watching a little bit one night on Twitter, and... Like, the title of that episode that night, or the tweet that went along with the live feed was, like, Anthony Richardson is the most gifted quarterback, physically gifted quarterback in the nation, or something like that. And I'm just like, oh, cool, here we go. I'm like, I mean, first of all, I'm like, really, he is? Like, we're sure about that? Like, we really haven't seen this guy do anything. He ran for a lot of yards against UCF or USF one.
He's, like, fast and tall with a strong arm. Like, that's what physically gifted means. And, like, he is fast and tall with a strong arm. So, like, I don't have a problem with people gassing that up, but like it takes more than that to be good at quarterback.
Yeah, like it just seems like a little bit. I mean, I know he'll be good the fourth game of the season for Tennessee.
Like you could legitimately say, Seth, that Joe Milton is more physically talented than Anthony Richardson. Than Anthony Richardson, not just Hooker, just like Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Like Joe Milton,
he's baby Cam. He's baby Cam.
He obviously has everything you need. There's nobody. I don't think there's anybody more physically gifted than Joe Milton. At his size, at his speed, and he can throw the ball like 80 yards. If he needs to throw it 60, he's still going to throw it 80.
Yep.
Last question. Parker asks, what's one piece of advice for newly single guys in their mid to late 20s?
Don't stress.
That's tough, Parker. F's for Parker.
Parker, you're a very handsome guy. Just don't. I mean, like, look, it sucks when a relationship ends. You just have to post through it.
With your friends.
Just keep posting.
On Facebook, not sad posts on Instagram. Only post to the Discord.
There's a level of privacy on the Discord that is not available on social media. Just, you really like soccer, I think. Just like watch Premier League highlights. You know.
He's a Man City fan, so again, stay with the Premier League. Don't worry about the Champions League, and you'll be okay.
Talk to Blue Moon Vol a lot.
I don't know if that's good advice. That feels like that was
that might be bad advice.
That's probably not good advice.
You might end up at like AA meetings or something.
My advice, Parker, would be take some time. Feel your feelings. And what I mean by that is if you come out of this in a month or two and you want your ex-girlfriend back, then you tell her that. If that door is closed, then you need to, you know, come to grips with that. I wouldn't start dating before you had made your decision, though. That would be something I would give you advice on, is like, in my mid to late 20s, I was in a similar situation, and, you know, I dated some women, some good women I still, you know, think about, oh, what if I would have done that, but I wasn't ready, right? I still wanted my ex-girlfriend. So then I just got stuck in this middle where I was ruining those prospects while also not making that better. So my advice from someone who's been in that shoes is to decide what you want before you, like, really get out there and try to wild out a little bit. You can go on dates and all that, but, like, I would just suggest feel your emotions, take the breakup, decide what you want to do with the breakup before opening anything else. And you can get on the apps if you want. Like Seth said, you're a handsome guy. Maybe that works for you. Maybe just hope that you organically meet someone out with friends or during football season. I don't know. But just slow down. Slow down and feel your feelings. Don't make any rash decisions. Because you'll burn through women, and that'll leave you just feeling just as bad, probably. You're not going to be ready, and then you're going to be emotionally unavailable. Then you're going to hurt them, and it's just going to be a vicious cycle. But at the very least, like, think of all the women that you've had at one point or that you flirted with at one point. If you've got their numbers, just text them and see what they're up to. Burn back through all of them, just to make sure that nothing's there. Maybe they want you. Who knows? They're probably going to want you less now that you're out of a relationship, though. That's the problem. Girls want you way more when you're in a relationship, Parker, and you're not in a relationship anymore. So girls are going to feel that you're a loser and that, like, you're a little desperate. So, like, that's going to hurt. So that's why I'm saying you need to make sure you heal. You don't want to go into anything desperate and hurting, because the women will either run over you or they're not going to respect you, which I guess is kind of running over you. They're not going to find you attractive. So you got to heal yourself, my friend. You got to heal yourself. Self-care. Throw in some Kanye, 808s and Heartbreak, and just feel those emotions, man. Hit me up for other, like, music advice. We'll put you on some sad playlists, some sad boy playlists. You cried out. Stay off social media. No one likes to see you cry on social media. And just keep it with the boys. Keep it with your friends. Lean on your friends. Talk to your family. Do all that. But don't be a sad boy publicly. Yeah, that's tough. Mid to late 20s.
I am sorry, Parker. It sucks. It just sucks. I know.
Mid to late 20s when you're going to start seeing your other friends, like, get married and have kids too. So you're going to feel like even more like a loser. I mean, I've been there. I understand. Just heaven forbid you make it to, you know, the early 30s, still single. Then it's really going to hurt. Then it's really going to smack in the face.
It's not that bad, Parker. You're not a loser, John. Just keep your head up, Parker.
Well, I didn't say I was a loser. I'm not a loser. I said he was going to feel like a loser.
Don't go run through women. Just feel.
What do you think about my advice? Just feel your feelings. Just take some time. Clear your head.
Yeah, I agree with that. The last thing you need to do is just go run through women, regardless of what the degenerates will say on the Discord. The last thing you need to do is go run through a lot of women. Don't do that. The only woman you need to be talking to right now is your mother and any sisters that you have. And they're going to remind you that they love you and that everything's going to be okay, because everything will be okay.
If you've got like any friends that are married, or, you know, like you might have some good girlfriends in that regard, you know, some people you trust. Maybe they're giving you bad advice. Maybe Seth's right. Just listen to your family.
My mother always makes me feel better, Parker.
Mine makes me usually feel worse. She tells me I got to lower my standards and that maybe I need to quit being so picky and that I'm not.
That is not true. That is not true, John.
That I'm not as much of a catch as I think I am and that I just need to settle down. That no one's going to be perfect. That's what she always tells me. So she always makes me feel much, much worse, actually. So if your mom's like that, Parker, don't listen to her. Well, that was a depressing end of the podcast. Anything else, Seth?
15 days.
Yeah, 15 days would be.
15 days. I love you, Parker. Keep your head up. Things will get better.
Love you guys. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, morning, open it, chat. Yeah, thing you might kill me, hell, I'd love to burn out like that. Then you stumbling down the street, hey baby, you wasted. Yet you're the kind of innocence I never tasted. Now you're crossing state lines, and I'm trying real hard to get over you. You never wanted me, and I wanted you too. I never held you tight, and I never tasted your lips. Yeah, I thought I found heaven, and what kind of hell's this? Talking too loud in a crowded theater. I almost said too much and said I'd save the rest for later. Your black t-shirt into that bar at 12 a.m. I'm headed to work hungover, saying I ain't ever drinking. I'm trying real hard to get over you. You never wanted me, and I wanted you too. I never held you tight, and I never tasted your lips. Yeah, I thought I found heaven. Crossing. like hell.